Begin the current daf, Maseches Makis, daf Yud Zayin. Begin 9 lines down to, from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues and concludes the halacha of our previous Mishnah regarding Eli and Halakin, that these are those who get lashes. One of those which were mentioned was if someone eats tevel, untithed produce, so he gets lashes. On that, our Mishnah concluded and explained, Kama yechman atevel v'chula, how much does a person have to eat from the untithed produce to be liable for lashes? So we had a machlekes in the Mishnah, if it's a kezais, the size of an olive, or kalshu, or even, as Reb Shimon said, a minute amount. So on that machlekes, Amr Abibi Amr Reb Shimon ben Lakish, he qualifies the machlekes and he says, machlekes b'chita. The whole machlekes was regarding a kernel of wheat, which is as it was created, what's called briyasa, as it was created. That's where we have machlekes. As the Mishnah, as we'll shortly see, quotes logic like that, if it's in its original form and it's in the whole entity as a kernel of wheat, that's where you have Reb Shimon's opinion that says even if it's smaller than the azayas, that one would be liable for eating and be liable for lashes, which generally has a minimum amount, let's say of kazayas, here would be even a small amount like that of a kernel of wheat. But if it was already turned into flour, divrei kol kazayis, then everyone agrees, since you don't have the svara, the logic of bria, of its original form, then it has to be the minimum of an olive size to be liable for lashes. Whereas Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar B'Shem Ben Lakish, he has a different version. He says, no, k'machlekes b'zu, the same machlekes here you're saying they have regarding if it's in the original form of a chita, kach machlekes b'zu, so too they have the same machlekes regarding even if it was turned into flour. Because he holds that Reb Shimon holds that by every prohibited item, that even a minute amount makes a person liable for lashes. Because the whole halacha, which we know generally for shiurim, for measurements, for liability, it has to be a kezias and olive, that was regarding bringing a carbon if someone has a chi of karis that he does by mistake. Which halacha l'mech mesinai. But regarding lashes, it's even a minute amount, even if it was already changed into flour. Now the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah. Now we learned in our Mishnah, which is difficult according to Reb Yirmiyah's version. Our Mishnah said that Amar Reb Shimon said to the Chacham who disagreed with him, and they said, no, it has to be the size of a kezias. He said, don't you admit to me that if someone eats an ant, that if, even if it's kosher, even if it's a small amount, Shuchayv is going to be liable for lashes for eating the ant, and you see, therefore, that it doesn't have to be the size of a kezias. They said to him, whoa, an ant, because it's as it was created, it's a whole entity. So even though, yes, generally for lashes you need a kezias, but here, even though it's smaller, it's a whole entity. To which Amalahan, which Reb Shimon said back to them, then the kernel of wheat is also in its original form as it was created. It's a whole creation. So therefore, there also, you should be chayiv even less than the gezayis. That's what Reb Shimon said to the Chachamim regarding their machlokes. To which the Gemara says, sounds like chita in, that where does Reb Shimon hold even less the gezayis, it will be a liability for lashes for eating tevel. That's only if it's kernel of wheat. Like we said, kirbiyasa. But if it's turned into flour, then even he would agree that it has to be kezayis, not like Rabbi Yirmiyah's version in Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon answers, no, l'divreim kamalahu. Rabbi Shimon was only telling an argument to the Chachamim, even according to their own opinion, where Rabbi Shimon was telling them, according to me, I hold even flour a kalshu, one would be chayav lashes. But according to you, that you say that it has to be kezayis, but then you say, but you agree to me by an ant because it's like it's an original form. So even though you disagree with me regarding flour, but at least agree to me that if one could be chayiv on tevel even less than the kezayis, if he eats a whole kernel of wheat, which is also kibriyasa. To which Rabbanan, they would say, no, briyas neshama chashuba. A creature that has a soul is considered something that's distinct, which would create liability even less than a certain shear, like an ant. Chita lechashuva, a kernel of wheat, is not considered a barrier enough to be chayiv, even less than the share of a kezayis. Now, although we asked on Rabbi Yirmiyah from our Mishnah, which we answered, the Gemara actually says, Tanika v'asayd Rabbi Yirmiyah, we have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yirmiyah's version in Rabbi Shimon, because the brisa says, Rabbi Shimon, he says, kol shehu lamakas, and it doesn't differentiate, it doesn't say it has to be a kernel of wheat, even a small, minute amount, in general, would be liable for lashes, which is like Rabbi Yirmiyah's version, not because of barrier. And because we didn't say the minimum measurement of an olive size, ela in your carbon, that was only for the liability of being a carbon when someone does a chiv karas b'shagig. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of this parak regarding those who get lashes for violating the prohibition. So the Mishnah says, if someone eats Bikurim, which are the first of the seven fruits which Eretz Yisrael was praised with, which he brings up to the Beis HaMikdash, someone eats it actually kara aleim until he doesn't first recite the Psukim, which it says in the Torah of Arami Eved Avi, which Gemara will learn out, where do we find that there is such a prohibition? Moreover, or if someone eats kachi kachim, which are the holiest types of karbanis, which are chatas and asham, oila, at a time when the Mishkan, which the tabernacle was there in the desert, if he eats it chutz l'kloim, out of the curtains, which the Gemara will explain, where do we know that, Azhar, that because it has to have Azhar, it has to have a warning in the Torah that it's a negative prohibition to be liable on it, and the liability of lashes. Also, another case is kachim kalim, the lower level sanctity karbanis, like shlamim. If someone eats that out of the wall of Yerushalayim, which that is warned from the pasuk of Leisuch Alecha B'Sharecha, the pasuk says these things you're not allowed to eat in your gates, meaning they have to be eaten in your Yerushalayim, and one of those items are karbanis, and so too Umayser Sheni Chutz Lechema, regarding Umayser Sheni, is also mentioned there in that pasuk regarding the second tithe, is also not allowed to be eaten out of Yerushalayim, which the Gemara actually is going to ask later on, that Umayser Sheni was already taught in the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah said that one of those cases that one will be liable lashes for is Umayser Sheni and Hektish that wasn't redeemed. Now that, what is Maaser Sheni that wasn't redeemed? In Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat it without redeeming it. That refers to Maaser Sheni out of the wall of Yerushalayim without redeeming it. Because if it was redeemed, you're allowed to eat it outside. So essentially, it's the same case that seems to be being repeated over here in this Mishnah. Another case is Hashever HaSe'etzim B'Pesach HaTov. If someone breaks a bone of a kosher carbon Pesach, on Pesach, Harizah Lo Karbam, for all these cases, the person gets 39 lashes. Avol hamaisa b'tar. If someone leaves over the meat of a carbon pesach, for such a case, he's not going. I mean, that's a kosher carbon pesach. He's not going to get lashes, as we actually said this in the previous daf, taf tazayin mabez, because the baha kaslit naseach alaisa. It's a lava, what's called lava nitik lase. Although it's a negative prohibition to leave over from the meat, the Torah says if you do, then you go ahead and you burn it. So since it's a manutik lase, you can rectify it by doing a positive commandment. One does not get lashes for it. And Vashrev, if someone breaks a bone, betame, of a non-kosher carbon pesach, then ein olay karbam, there he also doesn't get lashes, as the Gemara says in Pesachim daf pei gimel amud aleph, it says in the Torah, ve'etzem le'sish b'rubay, a bone of the carbon pesach, he should not break in it, which tells us in the kosher one, and not in the pasla one. Another case, ha'noitel im alabanim, if someone takes, which is forbidden, the mother bird, when it's on the children. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, the halacha is loike vein mishalech. He gets lashes, and he cannot rectify it by now sending away the mother bird right now. Because he understands when it says in the Torah, shalech tashalach haseim, send away the mother, it means in the beginning that's what should be done. But it's not saying that once you violate, that then you could be menatek, and then you could fix it by doing the positive commandment. And in other words, although it says, shalech tashalech, send away the mother, after it already says, loisikach, don't take the mother when it's on the children, it's not coming to say that if you do take the mother, which is a violation, then rectified by sending it away. Rather, the way, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you should read the pasuk is loisikach, don't take the mother when it's on the children. Rather, send her away before you go ahead and you take the children. So therefore, if you violate a negative prohibition, he holds it's not a mitzvah, loisikach hanitik lase, and therefore you get lashes. Whereas v'chachamim, they say mishaleach ve'ena leker. No, that you could send away the mother, and therefore you're not going to get lashes, because they understand, as the simple reading of the pasuk sounds like, that shalech, send away the mother, is after you took the mother in violation, then you could be menatek lase, you could do a positive commandment that would ameliorate that, which is, okay, now send away the mother, and then take the children. Which the Mishnah concludes, and we explained this in the previous daf, zehaklal, this is the rule, say the chacham, any negative prohibition that's violated that has a positive commandment to get up and fix the problem that you did, like let's say when you steal, and then go ahead and rectify by returning the theft, in such a case, you're not going to be liable lashes for it, which is how the Chacham understand is the mitzvah of Shaluach HaKein, that you could fix that by now sending away the mother, although you did a violation initially. Now, Amr Abba B'chan Amr B'yechin, he says that Zu, our Mishnah, which teaches in the first case, that regarding Bikurim, that the recital of the Pesukim of Ramit Ovid Avi is Ma'akim, it's withholds the ability to go ahead and consume the Bikurim from those first fruits. And he says if someone actually eats from it before the parasha was recited, they're going to get lashes. That is Divri Rebbe Kiva Stimta. That's according to the Rebbe Kiva, the anonymous one, meaning because Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, who put together the Mishnayos, he wrote anonymous Mishnayos, as our Mishnah doesn't say who it is, and it was quoting the opinion of Rabbi Akiva many times in Mishnayos, which wasn't saying who the author of, who the Tan of that Mishnah was, which is the tradition Rabbi Yochanan had, that it's Rabbi Akiva, who many times Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say who it is, that here it's referring to Rabbi Akiva, who he held that the recital of the parashas are ma'akev, they're an integral part of the mitzvah of Bikurim, and if that's not done yet, then the mitzvah of Bikurim wasn't fulfilled yet. Aval, but Chachamim, the sages say they disagree. They hold Bikurim regarding these first fruits, hanocha, the placing of those first fruits in front of the Mizbeach, that's ma'akavas behan. That holds back the validity of that mitzvah, because regarding the placement of the fruits, the Torah repeats it. It says v'nichu lefnei, and then it says v'nachti lefnei. It says it two times. So that many times by the halachas of Kachem means to say that that's intrinsic, that has to be done. Whereas kriya, ein ma'akavas behan, they hold, however, the recital of the parashas are actually not going to withhold the validity, although it's a mitzvah, if it's not done, a person would not get lashes, unlike the halacha of Bekiva in our Mishnah. Now the Gemara wonders, why did Rabbi Yechanan say that the anonymous halacha of our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva? V'leimezu divi Rabbi Shimon stimta. He should have said that it's the halacha of Rabbi Shimon, the anonymous one, because he should have supported his halacha from the brisa that the Gemara is going to shortly bring, which we find clearly that it's Rabbi Shimon who holds like the halacha of our Mishnah, that kriya of the parasha in Bikurim is ma'akiv. Why does he quote Rabbi Akiva? Says the Gemara, Hakamashwalan, this is what the Messiah Rabbi Yechanan was teaching, that yeah, the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon's relate. Rabbi Shimon, we know, there's a brisa. Kiva, we don't know, his tradition is, and that's what our anonymous mission is alluding to, it's Rabbi Akiva who also holds like this opinion of Rabbi Shimon. It's not only Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, my Rabbi Shimon. Where do we find Rabbi Shimon that he says this idea that the kriya of the parasha Bikurim is ma'aka for the mitzvah of Bikurim? The Tanakh, learn the Brisa, which Rabbi Shimon quotes the whole Brisa. And in that, in the beginning, we find this idea, the way Rabbi Shimon says this halacha, that in the halacha Bikurim, the kriya is ma'aka. The pasuk in the Varm says v'trumas yadecha. Now this actually, these words are the end of the pasuk. The whole pasuk says l'sucha lechol b'sharecha. These things you're not allowed to eat in your gates, meaning they have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. They're ma'aseh degancha v'sireishcha v'yitzarecha. That's the first. These are the tithes of your grain and of your wine and of your oil. U'b'chayreis b'karcha b'tzeinecha. And these are the firstborn animals of your cattle and your flock. And any vow which you'll take a vow, v'nidvasecha, and your donated karbanas, u'trumas yadecha, and the trumas of your hands. Now, as the Gemara will later on explain, Rabbi Shimon expounds this pasuk from the back going towards the front. Because if he would expound it in the order of the pasuk going from front to back, then he would not be able to expound as we're going to see as he does. And therefore, he actually expounds it going from the last words of the pasuk going back towards the beginning. So it says in the pasuk utrumas yadecha and the elevation of your hands, what does that refer to? Eli bikurim, that refers to bikurim that again cannot be eaten in your cities, has to be brought up to Yerushalayim. How do we know it refers to bikurim? Because the pasuk in Devarim Chavav says v'lokach ha'kayin atenem yodecha. The kayin takes the basket from your hands. You see that there's an element of hands regarding this elevation, which that is referring to bikurim. Now, Amar Rabbi Shimon, he says mabozel lamdeinu. What is this pasuk? In specifically in regards to the halacha bikurim, coming to teach us, im lo oichlan, if as the simple translation of the pasuk that it's coming to teach us regarding someone consuming bikurim chutz lechayim out of the wall of Yerushalayim, that it's forbidden, which that's what sounds like the pasuk is saying. L'such lecha b'shrecha, these are things you can't eat in your gate, meaning out of Yerushalayim. And the last one mentioned is bikurim. On that, asked Rabbi Shimon, but that already we know from a kavochemer, from the halachas of Maisa, which is more lenient, which was already written in the beginning of the pasuk, which it said Maisa de Gantcha, which later the Gemara is going to ask, what is the stringency that Bikurim has over Maisa? But the Gemara is assuming that, and this is what Rabbi Shimon holds, that Bikurim is more stringent than Maisa. So therefore, ma Maisa hakal, if we find regarding the halachas of Maisa, which are more lenient. If someone eats out of Yerushalayim, he gets lashes. So Bikurim lekalshikin. So regarding the first fruits of Bikurim, isn't it for all the more so? Of course, they would get lashes. So what's the pasuk teaching us by adding on the trumas yadecha, which is Bikurim? So says Reb Shimon, haloibo hakosav ela laoichel mi Bikurim actually kar alein. So rather, what the pasuk is really alluding to is a different prohibition. It's regarding if someone eats from the first fruits before the parasha of Arami Avi was said on it, shehulayka, that then the person gets lashes. Because this is what's known as the halachic principle of im eino inyan. If a pasuk is teaching us something that we don't need for the context, we teach it for something else related to that halacha. So if it's not teaching us anything regarding chutz l'chaimer, because we already know that for ma'isra akala is a kavul chaimer, so you'll come to teach it to a different prohibition, which is appropriate for it, which is regarding, and this is the idea that we see, that according to Reb Shimon, what is ma'akav in Bikurim is the kriya of the parasha, and if actually someone eats from it before the kriya of the parasha, which is the same as our Mishnah, which we're saying Rabbi Kiva is like this Reb Shimon, that one would get lashes. Now, once we introduce this Reb Shimon, the Gemara goes through the whole entire braisa of his interpretation. It continues, again, working its way backwards in the pasuk. It says there in the pasuk, v'nidvay secha, and your donations. What type of karbanos are donations? Zu taidu shlamim. This refers to a karban taida, Thanksgiving karban, or shlamim, which is, these are things which they're not obligations. It means a person gives as an adava, and he wants to bring a karban to the base of Mikdash. Now, Amr Bishimni says, ma bozeh lomdeinu, what is this halacha teaching us? If it's going to be like the simple translation of the pasuk la'achlon chutz l'chayma, that you can't eat these karbanos out of the wall of Yerushalayim, kavachayma me'maiser. They're more stringent than ma'aser, and therefore halay b'hakasav ella. Rather, what's the pasuk coming to teach us? La'ichel b'taydu b'shlamim lefnei zrika. If someone eats from these karbanis before the blood is thrown, shulayka, where then the person gets lashes, because again, im ein inin, if it's not having to teach us something regarding chutz l'chaima, then we'll make it something that's appropriate to teach. Which that this is the most stringent prohibition, which does not have an explicit negative prohibition in the Torah, which you could say would be saying that, oh, this is the allusion to the negative prohibition of that halacha. Because this halacha of not eating the meat of the carbon before the blood was thrown is only written in the Torah as a positive commandment, where it says, v'dam zevachecha yishafach, it says the blood of your carbon you should pour out. And then it says, abasatecha, then you eat the meat. So we know from a positive commandment, but you don't find a negative prohibition to get lashes. That's what it's teaching over here by saying this halacha of v'nidvesecha, alluding to Toida and Shlamim, that if one eats from the meat before the blood was thrown, that they're going to get lashes. Now it says earlier in the pasuk, it says uvachayres, and the firstborn animals. Zeha b'chayr, this refers to the firstborn animal regarding that carbon. Now again, in Reb Shimni, says, mabo zelamdeinu, what's this coming to teach us? If it's coming to teach us regarding the prohibition of eating it out of the wall of Yerushalayim, kavachayim and Isa, of course you can't, and you're going to get lashes from Iser. Imlef Nezrika, and if it's coming to teach us that you cannot partake of the meat of this carbon before the blood was thrown, kavachayim and Toyd v'shlamim. For sure, I know this as a kavachayim from the which we just mentioned before, of Toyd v'shlamim, which Gemara Lehen is going to explain what is the stringency that a Bechayr, which seems to be the same type of a carbon, same category as a Toyd v'shlamim, the Gemara is going to explain that, yeah, the Reb Shimon holds that they're more stringent a Bechayr than Toyd v'shlamim. So I already know for kavachayim from there that you cannot eat it before the Zrika of the dam, and that one will get lashes. So therefore, says Reb Shimon, "Halei b'ha kasev ella la'ichel min the bechor afila achazrika." Rather, this is coming to teach us that if for someone who eats from the meat of a carbon of a firstborn animal, even after the blood was thrown on the mizbeach, shulayka, where if he's a non-kayin, that he gets lashes, because unlike a toyden shlamim, a bechor can only be eaten by the kahanim. And this is where the Torah warns on it, because elsewhere it's only written as a positive commandment. Because it says, Ach b'chari shayv v'gayim, where it talks about the halacha of the firstborn animals, it says, B'sarm yilach, that the meat should be for you, says the pasuk b'midrash Yitzchak, which says, for you the kayin, and not for a non-kayin. That's written in the positive commandment. Where would we know that it's a negative prohibition to get lashes? That's being alluded to over here when it says, uv'chayris. Now it says there in the pasuk, which simple translation is, and the firstborns of b'karcha v'tzaincha, but here it's being interpreted as its own idea, because you already know from v'chayris, what does it mean when it's adding on b'karcha v'tzaincha, your cattle and your flock? Says the drasha zuchatzas v'ashtim. That's referring to the sin offering and the guilt offering, the two types of which when one does an aver. Now again, Reb Shimon says, ma bozeh lomdeinu, what is this coming to teach us? Im la'achal chutz l'chayma, if regarding that if someone would eat it out of Yerushalayim, kavachayma ma'isa. I already know that this lashes from ma'isa. Im lefnei zrika, if regarding if someone eats from the meat of the carbon before the blood is thrown, well, kavachayma toyd v'shlamim. For sure, we're here, this is kachay kachim, and toyd v'shlamim, kachim kalim. For sure, there you get lashes, for sure here. Im, and if it's coming to teach regarding someone that eats from it, la'achal zrika, after the blood was thrown, which then you're allowed to eat from the meat of a carbon, but it would be telling us regarding if he's a non-kayin, but kavachayim ebuchay, I really would know that regarding a chatzis and asham, kavachayim from a firstborn animal, which later on the Gemara is going to explain what is the stringency of a chatzis over bechar, so I already know all those halachas. So Holy Ba'akosav Ela La'icha Mechatzis Va'ashem. Rather, it's coming to teach us regarding someone who eats from the meat of a korban mechatzis and ashem. Afila achazrika, even after the blood was thrown when it's usually permitted, but chutz l'chaima, chutz l'klaim, not only out of Yerushalayim, that already know out of Yerushalayim, but even if it's in Yerushalayim, but it's out of the curtains of the Mishkan, which is not in the holiest areas, shulayka, we're there that the person would get lashes, because that elsewhere is only learned out from a positive commandment. And Vayikravav says, b'makom kadosh teichel, in the holy place you should eat, to kachay kachim, b'chatzar ha'ol moed, in the courtyard of the ha'ol moed. How do I know that one will get lashes, which is only if there's a negative prohibition? That we know from the special mentioned over here, of Bekaruch HaBetzenich, which refers to Chatzis Nashim, where regarding everything else, I already know from Makabal Chaim, it must be teaching even after the Zriki, even in Yerushalayim, but it's out of the claim that one will get lashes. And it says in the Pasuk, Nidirecha, your vows, Zu'elis refers to a total burden offering brought on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon says, Ma Bazel Amdeinu, what is this coming to teach us? Im la'achon chutz l'chaim, if it's coming to teach us that if he would eat out of Yerushalayim, kavuchaim emeimaisa. Im lefnei zriki, if that is telling us if we'd eat from it before the blood was thrown, kavuchaim etayid v'shlam. As we know that was already alluding to the halacha. Im la'achon zriki, if it's coming to teach us regarding the prohibition of eating after the blood was thrown, kavuchaim emeimachayir, where the non-kain can't eat it. Im lechutz l'chaim, if it's teaching us, no, in Yerushalayim and after the zrika, but it's outside of the curtains, kavuchaim echatz v'ashem. Which we'll see, Eila is more stringent than Chatzis Nasham, and Chatzis Nasham already tells us that halacha, so for sure Eila would have that lashes if you even eat it after the Zrika, but out of the curtains of the Mishkan. Haloi ba'akasav, so rather, says Reb Shimon, the Pasuk only comes to teach us, we continue to tell Beis, Ela la'eichel min ha'eila. If someone eats from the carbon Eila, even la'achas Zrika, after the blood was thrown, afila bifnim, even inside the area of the holies, meaning in the courtyard of the Mishkan. And even if he's a kayin, shulaika, that he gets lashes. Because although the halacha is known, but it was only told to us by a positive commandment, which is said in the beginning of a yikra, v'ochel b'nei Aaron, kalhi. It says that it should be totally burnt, which tells us that it shouldn't be eaten, but that was only known as a positive commandment. How do we know that if someone eats from a carbon oila, anyone, because it's supposed to be totally burnt on the Mizbeach, even a kain, even after Zrik is dam, even in the Mishkan, that it's going to get lashes? That's learned out from this extra word, nidirecha, which refers to the carbon oila. Even in all those situations, he's still going to get lashes. Now that was the exposition of Reb Shimon, which again, we introduced it for the halacha in the beginning. It was regarding teaching us that halacha that we wanted from Reb Shimon, but we brought then the whole price of Reb Shimon, which was related to the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, Amar Rabbi says, delay the ime, any fetus that his mother is giving birth to him, Reb Shimon teled, should give birth to him like Reb Shimon, meaning she should beseech mercy that let this child be like Reb Shimon. Now, V'iloi, but if not, like Taylor, he shouldn't be born. Now, says Rava, V'avagav de'islu pircha, even though that there's a refutation and difficulties with his exposition, as Rava is going to go through piece by piece, showing why the halachas of Reb Shimon are not definitive. Because, he explains, Reb Shimon's halachas, which was teaching one chiddush, one novelty more than the other, based on, well, it doesn't have to teach this, I know from Kabbalah Chaim, it doesn't have to teach it, it kept on growing. And that they were all based on because this one's more stringent than the other one, and therefore it must be teaching us something more. That says, Rava, my churma di bikur mi maiser. Let's start from the first one. The first halacha was halacha of maiser. Okay, that teaches the basic halacha of the pasuk, which is you can't eat it outside of Yerushalayim. But then why does it say bikur? Bikurim is more stringent than Maiser. Must be teaching another halacha, which is the halacha why we brought this expedition of Reb Shimon related to the halacha of Amishnah, or we're, okay, even if you go ahead and you eat it before the kriya of the parsha of Bikurim. On that, asked Rava, who said Bikurim is more stringent than Maiser? What are you going to say? Shekin asurim lazar. Reb Shimon was saying, yeah, Maiser could be eaten by any person. Bikurim is forbidden to a non-Kohen. Bikurim is only eaten by the Kehanim. On that, as Rava Adarabba, to the contrary, Bikurim are permitted to be eaten by an Einin, by someone whose relatives died that day, according to Reb Shimon himself, as the Gemara says, Nivamas of Ein Gimel Mabes. So I could tell you, Maiser Chomer, that actually halachas of Maiser, of the tithe of the produce, is more stringent. Shekin Asal Einin. On the day that the person's relative passed away, one is forbidden to eat from Maiser, yet he's permitted to partake from Bikurim. So how can you say that you would know from a Kal V'Chaimer who said that Bikurim is more stringent than Maiser? And Rava continues to ask, The next level. Then he says, oh, the next category that he was expounding was Taida and Shlam, the Kachin Kalam type of Karbanis, which they're more stringent than Maisa. Why? Shimon's logic was because they require blood and the sacrificial parts to be put onto the Mizbeach, in contrast to Maisa, which doesn't have that. On that, asked Rava, Ad Rabba, to the contrary, I could tell you Maisa Chamer, that a Maisa is more stringent. And if you wouldn't know the halacha of not eating it out of Yerushalayim from a Kavah Chamer from Maisa, Shekein Tu'un Nekesef Tzura. When you want to redeem Maisa, Shani, which you don't want to bring it all up to Yerushalayim, which it has to be, so you have to redeem it, you have to swap it, change it into money. There, that money has to be minted coins, as the Pasuk says in the Devarim Yudal, B'tzarta Kesef Yedecha, has to be something that has a Tzura. In contrast, when you want to redeem a carbon tithe and shlamim, let's say to switch the sanctity onto money, then it doesn't need a minted coin. So it's not more stringent than Maiser. Moreover, it continues to the next category. What's the stringency of Bechayr, of a firstborn animal, from tithe and shlamim? Which he said, oh, it can't be teaching the same thing as tithe and shlamim, because we already know them tithe and shlamim. Rather, must be teaching a next level. What's the stringency? So you would say, Shekin Kudusha Semirachim, because a firstborn animal, it's more stringent in the sense that its sanctity is right when it comes out of the mother's womb. By being the firstborn animal, already has sanctity, in contrast to Tayyid Shlamim, which only a person designates later on in life that it should be a carbon. Says Rav Adrabah, to the contrary, I could tell Tayyid Shlam Chamurim. Why? Shekin Tu'unin Smicha. The one who's bringing the carbon to the shlamim has to lean on the animal. The nesachim has to bring libations, which are certain things that are poured on the mizbeach wine. The tenuvas chazav ashayik, and the thigh and the chest parts have to be elevated. In contrast, the bechor doesn't need not smicha, not nesachim, as the Mishnah teaches the menachas and the tzavet beizim at aleph. And he continues asking. He says, "Umay chormen the chatzas v'ashem mebechor. What's the stringency that a chatzas and ashem have more than bechor?" What are you going to say? Reb Shimon's logic was, Shekein Kachin Kachin, because what I mean, Bechor is Kachin Kalim, the lower level sanctity karbanos. Then there's the holiest of the holies, which is Chatzin Hashem, and that says, Rava, Adrabah, Bechor Chama, I can tell you to the contrary, that Bechor is the most stringent, and therefore you can't learn out that halacha to HaKav Lechemev HaChatzis and Hashem, and to say they're coming to teach one more novel teaching, because I can tell you, Shekein Kudushas Mirachem, a Bechor is holy from when it comes out of the womb, which is not even my Chatzin Hashem, and therefore it's not necessarily that they're more stringent than Bechor. Moreover, he says, what are you saying that Ayla, the total burnt carbon, is more stringent than Chatzis Ashem? What are you going to say? Shekein Kal, because it's totally burnt on the Mizbeach, it's the holiest, more than everything else. Adrabah, to the contrary, I would tell you Chatzis V'Ashem Chamiri Shekein Mechapri, which they atone for the sins which a carbon Ayla doesn't do. Moreover, that he was making it sound like Reb Shimon that oil is the most stringent of everything. And I would know Kavul Chaymer from all those lighter halachas, all those including oil. And that is Rava, the Kulu Chamir Me Oil. I can tell you to the contrary. I can tell that all the other ones are more stringent than oil. The Isbush De Achilas, all those other ones have two consumptions. One, the Mizbeach eats from that carbon, and the Kayan eats from that carbon. In contrast to the oil, where only one eating is being done on the Mizbeach, it's totally burned. So I would tell you that the rest are more stringent than Ayla. So therefore, Rava says that that's a pircha, that's a difficulty on Reb Shimon's expositions. Now, therefore the Gemara asks, Elamai de yilde emik Reb Shimon. So what was this whole thing that Rava said that whoever is giving, his mother is giving birth to him, should daven that it should be like Reb Shimon, based on this exposition, since there's all these difficulties, what's the great praise? Says the Gemara, what Rava meant to say was, Delamai desvirilei ledidei, according to Reb Shimon's understanding, that he found certain stringencies that he considered to be make one category more stringent than the other, according to his understanding, Mesaris le lekrav v'dorish le, he went and he inverted the pasuk and expounded it the exact opposite to find all these new isurim, which we don't have in the Torah, they're only written as positive commandments, to find them as negative prohibitions, to be liable lashes for them. Because if he would have expounded the pasuk in its order, he would not have been able to learn all these prohibitions for each one that he did. Because if he would have expounded in the order, which the first one would be ubechayres, and the firstborn, which is the bechayr, so then we would say, what's that coming to teach us? We'd use Reb Shimon's logic. We'd say, wait, if it's coming to teach us that if you eat it out of Yerushalayim, we'd say, no, it can't be teaching that. That's kavul chamer from the first thing mentioned in the pasuk, which is ma'aser. If it would be coming to teach us regarding before the blood is thrown, so then Reb Shimon said, no, I know that a kavul chamer from Tayyid and Shlamim. On that wouldn't be appropriate if you're darshaning in order. Because the pasuk didn't mention yet Tayyid and Shlamim.
So obviously he would have to say, oh, okay, we're only up to number two. Number two is already is Bechairis. So he would have to say that the pasuk is only coming to teach us if someone eats from the Bechair animal before the blood is thrown that it gets lashes. Now, if that would be the case, then he wouldn't be able to find any more prohibition for someone who eats from the Bechair even after the blood was thrown if he's a non-kain. And so too, he wouldn't be able to learn all the other ones one after the other. Therefore, that was the great praise of Reb Shimon that he learned it inverted. Which Tais asks, well then what's the great praise of Reb Shimon? To the contrary, it's very difficult. How did he know to darshan and expound the pasuk invertedly going back to front, not front to back as the pasuk is usually read? And that says Tais knows that he expounded it appropriately because obviously Bechair is not coming to teach the more basic halacha of eating from a carbon before the blood was thrown, even though, yes, it is written before the idea of Taida, because if that what it was coming for, then the pasuk should have not mentioned Bechair, because I would have known that halacha if I'm just saying the halacha of Taida, which is written later on. Why does it mention Bechair? Obviously, because we have to expound it invertedly, like Reb Shimon did, and that's the great praise of Reb Shimon, although Rava disagreed with it by asking all these questions, which wasn't based on the flaw in how he darshan, but just in the chumris that he found of one over the other. But now the Gemara asks on Reb Shimon's halacha itself. V'chimasirin min hadin? Do we create prohibitions in the Torah based on logic? Reb Shimon had said, if it's coming to teach me, and he said this regarding all the other halachas of the pasuk, that if you're going to eat it out of Yishalayim, on that said Reb Shimon, no, you can't, because it's a kavachem, if a ma'aser, and moreover, he said, and if it's coming to teach me regarding the prohibition of eating it before the blood is thrown, no, kavachem from Taida. The problem, asked the Gemara, is maybe all of these halachas, Bechair, Taida, Ashem, Chattas, maybe they're all coming to teach, as the simple translation of the pasuk is coming to say, regarding not being able to, regarding the lashes of eating it out of Yerushalayim. Now, but this that Reb Shimon said, but it's a Kavu Chaymer, and that asked the Gemara, but what's called Emaz here, Min Hadin, you cannot create a prohibition based on a Kavu Chaymer on logic. So therefore, you can't create what Reb Shimon did of, so if I don't need it to teach you Chutz L'Chaymer, so I'm Einin L'Inyin, so I'll teach you a different halacha that does pertain to it. And he kept on going up and up and up. Which the Gemara asked, but you don't create a prohibition based on the logic of a Kavu Chaymer. Because even according to the one who holds, which is Reb Yitzchok, that he holds regarding a sister that's prohibited to a brother to have relations, to get married, although it says in the pasuk only either his paternal sister or only his maternal sister, but it doesn't say both, that it's his regular sister, that from both his father and his mother, but still he holds Einchem Min Adin, that you could give the punishment of the Torah. Based on logic, because if the Torah says you get punished for if she's only your paternal or only maternal, for sure for both. But even he agrees that regarding the Azhara, the prohibition of, where there's two things the Torah says, the prohibition and the punishment. Punishment, he agrees that can be learned out from logic. But even he holds the Azhara has an extra pasuk to teach that it would be even a sister that has both from his mother and his father. Well, even he holds Ein Masir Min Adin, that you cannot create the prohibition based on logic. So what's Reb Shimon's whole thing by saying, well, if it's teaching this, I don't need it because I know from Kavu Chaymer, but you can't be Masir Min Adin. So says the Gemara, you're right, that Reb Shimon was bringing all these halachas that he was learning out the prohibition from a Kavu Chaymer, that was only for Isur Ba'alma. You're right, it was only to tell us prohibitions and it was not coming to teach us Malkus. Meaning the whole halacha of as seems from the Gemara of Ein Masir Min Adin is only regarding using it as a catalyst to create the Einish of Malkus. But for a prohibition, you could learn that from a Kavu Chaymer. But regarding lashes, you're right, that wasn't being learned out from there because Ein Masir Min Adin. On that, as the Gemara, how can you say that that's the halach of Reb Shimon? Because V'amar Rava, Rava said as follows. He said, Zar she'achol min ha'ayla, if a non-kain eats from a carbon ayla, lefnei zrikim, before the blood of the carbon ayla was thrown, chutz l'chaim, and he eats it out of Yerushalayim, Reb Shimon, according to this Reb Shimon that we just quoted, like a chamish, he gets 5 sets of lashes. Now, it specifically had to be a zar, a non-kain in this case, because although even a kain regarding a carbon oila is like a zar, is like a foreigner, because no one is allowed to eat from a carbon oila, but it had to be specifically in this case to be chayv for all these 5 sets of lashes, a non-kain. Because if it was a kain, you'd be missing out one of those 5 sets, because the 5 that were being counted here by Rava. One was because he's eating a carbon out of the wall of Yerushalayim, which is prohibited. And how do we know that? From the Kavu Chaymer, as we said, from Maisa. One is the problem about that he's eating the meat of a carbon before the blood was thrown, which we know from a Kavu Chaymer, like Reb Shimon said, from Toida and Shlomim, meaning Oila was the last thing he said, which we know all these previous halachas that include an Oila from a Kavu Chaymer, from all these early ones in the Pasuk.
And one is, and this is why I had to be a Zar, is because a total non-Kohen, even after the blood was thrown, which that's prohibited from to eat from any carbon, like a kachim, that of like a carbon for sure, carbon ayla, which is learned from a kavachim from Bechayr, which can only be eaten by a Kohen, and we said that, that's going to be prohibited for a non-Kohen even after the blood was thrown, for sure in this case, which the blood wasn't even thrown. Another one is coming because he ate out of the klayim, out of the curtains of the Mishkan, which that we know from a Kavu Chaimer that applies to Oila from Chatzis and Ashram. And one was because he ate from the meat of a carbon Oila, where even a Kayin, even in the klayim, for sure a Zar, out of the klayim and out of the Chaimer, is going to get lashes. That's why he gets 5 lashes. But one thing we see from Rabbah is that this halacha of Reb Shimon wasn't just Isurim, it was lashes. And that's what Rabbah says. He says, it's like a Chamish. Which the Gemara says, no, just like it had answered for Reb Shimon, Chamisha Isurin Haba. He doesn't mean lashes. He means that there's 5 negative prohibitions, and therefore he's not referring to lashes, because you're right, you can't say that there's lashes, because the whole halacha is based on the Kal V'chaimer, and as we said, Ein Masir Min Adin. But the Gemara still asks, but Vanan Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah that said, Elohein Aloikin, these are those who get lashes, and what's the first case we opened up with? And another case, we mentioned Bikurim, and we mentioned if someone eats Kachi Kachim Chutz L'Kloim, out of the curtain. Now, where do we know that from? We know that from this halacha. This is the same halacha that we said is Rabbi Kiva, is Rabbi Shimon. Where does he know that from? From a Kal V'chaimer. So you see that this halacha is not just Isurim. You see that this halacha is actually lashes. That's what our Mishnah is coming to teach us. Elehin alaikin. So if that halacha, let's say by kachi kachim of oila, is chutz l'koyim, is known from chatzis nashim, these things are learned out from Kal V'chaimers, but you said ein masir min adin. So rather, as the Gemara continues, the top of Yud-Chesem and Aleph, Ella, rather, Reb Shimon, that regarding this pasuk of Lesuchu Lechel, that counted all these different items in the pasuk, Kro Yiseiru, he comes, it's from a whole different angle. It's not based on the Kal V'chaimer, because you're right, Kal V'chaimer, Ein Masir Min Adin, that would not be able to give lashes, and we see clearly from the Mishnah that there is lashes. Rather, says the Gemara, he knows it from the fact that the words in the pasuk for all these items are superfluous. Why? Mechdi, let's see. Ksiv, it says in the pasuk earlier, which the Gerasa takes out this line, and it puts in the pasuk, V'aveisim Shama, that you'll bring it over there, V'gaimer, and you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. V'chaltim Shem, V'fnei Hashem L'keichem, V'gaimer, and you'll eat over there in front of Hashem, your God. Now, all these items are written in that pasuk. All these things that we said, the Taida, and the Asham, and the Bechari, they're all written in this earlier pasuk. So ask the Gemara, Licht of Rachmana, so the Torah should have written afterwards in the pasuk that we were expounding in the Brice of Reb Shimon. It should have just said, Leisucha la'achlam, you're not allowed to eat it, Bisharecha, in your gates. Now, if it would be teaching us regarding that you're not allowed to eat it out of the Chayma, I know the items from the previous pasuk, and it just should just say, so don't eat them, Bisharecha. And Rashi forewarns a question. Now, if you would think to say, but no, then you wouldn't get lashes because it would be called what's known as a lav shebeklalas. It would just be putting in one big category of you can't eat them in your gate, which is going on all of them. So therefore, that would not allow us to give lashes. Maybe that's why I have to mention each one specifically. And that says rashly that no. This would be going on each one specifically that was mentioned in the previous pasuk. A lav shebeklalas is, for example, that when it says, Loisoichel kim sli'esh. You can't eat the Karban Pesach unless it's roasted over the fire. Or when it says Mekol Asher Ya'aseh Megef in the Yam, whatever is made from grape, anything that's related to that, it's forbidden for the Nazir. Which that includes many things which are not written in the Torah. That's a lav shebeklalas. But here, the Torah mentioned them specifically. We're just referring back to it in the next pasuk. Don't eat those items, bisharecha. So, Mehadim Mefarish Behu Rachmana. So this that the Torah goes back in the next pasuk and specifies each one by name. Lamali, what do I need that for? I already know it's referring to those mentioned in the previous pasuk, and it said all those items. So just say next pasuk, Lesuchu La'achlam Misharecha, and it wouldn't be a lav shebeklalas. It would be as if it's mentioning each one by name. So why does it repeat it a second time essentially by mentioning each one by name? Ela liyichudi lohu lav ilchochad v'chad. So that's what the Gemara says, rather because it's coming to designate for each one by repeating and writing over each one again in the next pasuk when it talks about the lav of eating at chutz l'chaimah. Since that's not inyan, you don't have to tell us by mentioning each one by name regarding the prohibition of eating it out of the chayma. Because I would know if I just said lisuchul ochlem b'sharecha. Why? Because it would be going on all those of the previous pasuk. Why does I have to repeat each one by name again? To tell you in the davar achar, that to say that each one has a distinct lav related to it, and therefore Bikurim would be, as Reb Shimon said, to eating it before the parsha of Bikurim was said on it, and all the other ones, each one to come to say what it's coming to teach. Which Rashi still has a question on that. He says, regarding all the kudshim that are written in that pasuk, it's enough if you're going to make this second prohibition, because we're saying chutz l'chayim, it could have just said it la'achlem, and it would have included everything. So why is it mentioned each one by names coming to teach a next prohibition? So say that it's only coming to teach the next thing. Because we said you can't know, like we thought Reb Shimon was saying, based on Kavu Chaymer, each one that you know the previous one from the one before, because Ema Simen Adin. So it would be teaching the next level in the Chiddush of when you eat from the carbon before the blood was thrown, which wouldn't apply to Bikurim, but all the other ones, maybe that's all that it's coming to teach. How do you know to take it next level, even after Zrika, regarding a non-coin, and regarding after Zrika, if it's out of the Kloyim, how would I know that? Which Rashi says you're right. Rashi actually ends up saying that our Mishnah that says that there's lashes for someone who eats kachay kachim out of the Kloyim, you do not know, as we had been reading up until now from Reb Shimon, based on this pasuk of Lesuchol, Lechol B'sherecha. Because that pasuk is actually only telling us the next level, which is lefnei zrika. Rather, you know it from the pasuk, as we'll see later on, and on the next daf, ubasa basad the treifel leisaychul. You can't eat from something that went out from the limits that it's allowed to be in. And although the Gemara had quoted Rava who said that if someone eats a carbon oila with all these different ways, a zar who eats from the oila before the zrika out of the chayim and it gets 5 lashes, you have to say, as the Gemara had originally said, that there's only chamisha isurim, and not 5 lashes. So although the Gemara had asked, but you see in our Mishnah Elihin HaLoikin, but that Elihin HaLoikin is actually not learnt out from this pasuk. Elihin HaLoikin regarding kachay kachim and bikurim that's chutz l'kloim is known from a different pasuk, as we'll see in the next daf, of Vasa Basad Batrefa, and all the other halachas, which is chutz l'kloim, regarding a zar, that's after Zrika, and a kohen lefnei Zrika, and all these different halachas, that actually we don't know that there's going to be lashes. It's only they're going to be isurim, because you can't learn out each level one from the other. Not like the Gemara had assumed based on Kavu Chaymer, because as we said, Eimas Yemen Adin. And neither from what the Gemara is answering over here, to say, well, you don't need it to teach you chutz l'chaim, because then you could have just said it in one big term of la'achlam. Why is it each one? Okay, that's saying, like, it's like saying the Isur 2 times. So you don't need it for chutz l'chaim, so it's teaching one more. But each one needs for the next level. You can't keep on building based on that. That's because that's Masir and Adin. Rather, just be teaching the next one of Lefnei Zrika. But you write the rest, as Rashi is saying, is actually only Isurim and not as Azharis to be able to get Malkus for.